Well, I don't know whether to start preaching or talk about Doug. Doug does not have a good diagnosis. He's had it for a long time. He didn't want anybody to know. As far as I know, he still doesn't want anybody to know. I'll go back over there after a while. But it's not new. Okay? So it's not new. We'll see how it goes. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us God's pattern for a marriage. At the beginning of Genesis 2:24, God's pattern has been man and woman and monogamy, not polygamy. I might add, don't want to preach on it, but never does the Bible ever support homosexuality. And that was weird in Bible days, and as far as homosexual marriages go, as far as I know, the Greeks didn't do it, the Romans didn't do it. That's a brand new, worse level. It does seem to be American and European. Anyway, no homosexuality ever, as far as marriage goes in the Bible. People did it, but not marriage. Concerning polygamy, that never was God's pattern. Although he did not punish people in the Old Testament who did it. So it wasn't God's pattern from Genesis 2. It wasn't quoted again by Jesus in Matthew 19 or Mark 10, where it's monogamy, or in today's continuation of 1 Corinthians 7, where that is the pattern, one and one. Now, Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 will and has repeated Jesus' pattern, but he adds a little bit more and leaves things and brings things in that Jesus had not talked about. So let's come back to 1 Corinthians 7. We'll do verses 12 and 13. That's a little bit of an overlap from last time, and then we'll continue with brand new things. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 7, 2 and 3. But to the rest I say, not the Lord, Jesus didn't talk about it, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. Unbelieving husband, he consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away. We often have the phrase mixed marriage. I do not use it of mixed races. In the Bible, that was never a problem because even Moses was married to a Cushite woman, so it looks like Moses was married to a black woman. So mixed marriages racially has never been an ethical issue. But here we have mixed marriages spiritually. One is a believer and one is an unbeliever. That could happen several different ways. A Christian may marry an unsaved person in defiance of the Bible. The Bible says not to do it. They may go ahead and do it. Or it could start out, and I think that's what a lot of these Corinthians were, where no one was a Christian. Because in Corinth, started out as all pagans. So in the Corinthian situation, which probably is more common, they both were unbelievers. One had trusted in Jesus, the other one had not. And what he's saying here is to stay with them. Marriage is holy, even if it began in unholiness. Marriage is holy, even if a believer knows better and disobeys and marries an unbeliever. Should not do that, but once it is done, once the wedding is done, then the marriage is holy. And I do know people who have done this, and once they marry an unbeliever, it was against the Bible, but once they do it, marriage is holy. And I've always told extended families that you can go ahead and warn them, but once the wedding day happens, and once it happens, it's permanent, and do what you can to support this new couple. So marriage is holy, even when it started out unholy. Once they've made the vows and the commitment, you're married to an unbeliever, well, that's permanent. and everybody else should do what they can to make it a holy marriage and make it permanent. Verses 12 and 13. Now, I have used the word holy, and Paul has not used it yet, but it comes now in verse 14 as we move on. Although in verse 14 it's talking mostly about holy children. The children of a spiritually mixed marriage, they are holy too. So holy comes in verse 14 in a reference to the kids. Verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children, we'd say, would be outside of marriage, but now they are holy. When a marriage starts out, even if it's in rebellion against God, don't marry an unbeliever. Once they're married, they're married. And it seems like what you have here, I think, is interesting because you have Corinthian, unsaved pagans who are going to be loyal. And if the Christian doesn't leave, these unsaved Corinthian pagans are going to stay in a marriage. What that tells you is not everybody is evil as they can be. And I think that would be true in the United States. Not everybody, even if it's unsaved, is as evil as they can be. So Paul is assuming it looks like you have one is a believer, has become a believer, and one is still an unbeliever, but they're going to stay together, and they're going to be faithful to each other, and one of them is not a Christian yet. That does mean there is such a thing as an unsaved person not being as bad as possible. And this situation is they're going to stay loyal, and maybe they'll become a Christian later. Maybe they'll trust. In the meantime, all the children should be considered out of, as we say, holy wedlock. All children are of infinite value, and holy would mean separated unto God. And here they are, separate unto God. And what you have is a Corinthian attitude. They were asking questions. And my guess is the Corinthian attitude has what would be a modern attitude of, shall we leave our wives or husbands and go to a monastery? Shall we get a divorce and go be celibate? And he's already said if you're a Christian couple, you certainly should not. But now he adds these verses that we just read. Even if you're married to an unsaved person, you should not separate from them. You should keep it together. And if I can use modern illustrations, you should not divorce an unsaved person and go become a monk or a nun. I'm bringing in modern Catholic things that Paul would not have thought of yet, but that's what the Corinthians were asking. Shall we leave our husband or wife and go be celibate? Or the next subject, shall we leave our unsaved husband and wife and go be celibate? And the answer is marriage is holy. Marriage is permanent. Marriage is holy between two believers, and marriage is holy if one's a believer and one's an unbeliever. Now we're going to go on and talk about what would be legitimate divorces. And he said, stay together if the unsaved person will do it, but what if they will not? That's verse 15. Yet if an unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage, we'd say tied down, not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Now, our Bible reading verse, Malachi 2:16, I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ quotation. It's in Matthew 19 or Mark 10, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. So by and large, it's permanent. Jesus did in Matthew 5 and Matthew 19 say, except for adultery. Marriage is permanent. Marriage is lifelong. adultery could lead to a divorce. And I have over the years known couples that have done both. There was an adultery, and it was like Hosea, Book of Hosea. He wanted to have her back. And in some cases, even after adultery, they stay married and they forgive each other and it works out. There have been, we don't go here anymore, but I see them once in a while in the store and they're still together, which they work that out. On the other hand, there are times when there is adultery and the person who is an unbeliever won't fix it. I even knew of one case where the guy said, I'll stay married to you, but I'm still going to run around. And I said to the wife, adultery is the grounds for divorce. If he's not going to stop, adultery is the grounds for divorce. On the other hand, if you assume there's no adultery, like he's not bringing it in here, and if you assume that even a person is unsaved, he's saying, stay together. And maybe the unsaved person will trust in Jesus as Savior. So God has different plans for different people, different callings. That's going to come in verse 17. You be single, you be married. But if a person is married, the Corinthian idea that they should get a divorce and go be celibate, because that's more holy, the Corinthian idea, he is opposing it. Marriage is permanent. Adultery is the grounds for it. Sometimes it can be worked out, sometimes not. But otherwise, marriage is permanent. The other situation is right here in the verse we just read. If an unsaved person just won't stay with a Christian, well, the Christian is not to blame. And if they separate, they're not tied down, as we just read. Now let's read verse 16. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Well, indirectly save. I mean, only Jesus saves. But if a person is married to an unbeliever and they stay together, maybe over time, the unbeliever will trust in Jesus as Savior. That happened in our family. Now, I was born, but I was too little to remember it. My Grandpa Hurwitz always was a believer, the Dutch one. My Grandpa Waterhouse, oh my. And I think I have said he was in the Michigan Calvary, and you just wouldn't think that the Michigan would have Calvary, and they sent him to Brownsville to guard the border. I don't know why the government is sending a Michigan Calvary down to Texas, but he went down here. And then he came back up there, and the rest of his life he was a physical therapist in the Battle Creek Hospital. Might have worked on Bob Dole, who was in the hospital, and a whole bunch of World War II people. But this whole time he was an alcoholic. So I guess you drink on your day off. Then you're able to go to work and get away with it. And he did trust in Jesus as Savior. And sometimes people quit right away, and sometimes they don't. He quit right away. And quit right away is alcoholism. But the point being, as my grandmother was saved for a long time, stayed with my unsaved grandfather, and eventually both trusted in Jesus. So I can think of a picture of him carrying a Bible, going to Fectorville Bible Church, and he did get over, he did trust in Jesus as Savior, married to my grandmother who was saved first, and stayed with him, and it worked out for the best, kind of what he's asking them to think about here. The Corinthians may have thought we should divorce people and we should go become a celibate. We should become the equivalent of a monk or a nun. And we should especially divorce unsaved people and we should go become a monk or a nun. And Paul says marriage is holy. And even if it started out unholy, they stay together. And maybe the outcome will be both trust in Jesus and Savior. There are callings. That's the next verse, verse 17. Only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called him in this manner, let him walk, and so I direct in all the churches. Well, God has different plans for different people. There are all kinds of commands in the Bible that are for everybody. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, and it's everybody, no exceptions. And then there are individual plans. It's one thing for one person, another thing for another person. In the Bible, I often think of spiritual gifts. In Romans chapter 12, there's this spiritual gift, that spiritual gift, according as he has given to every person a measure of confidence, a measure of faith, that this is their spiritual gift. And people are not the same with spiritual gifts. That category, I think, is with marriage. God wants some people to be single, and God wants some people to be married. And it's not the same. That's like verse 17. It's called some of the Corinthians to be single. They were never married, or then the spouse died, and they're single again. He's called them to be single, and he's called other people to be married. One way, and then the other way. People are different. Asking a related question is, when a person is married, has there been a, we call them Mr. Right or Miss Right? I think so. Proverbs 19:14, a prudent wife is from the Lord. Why, God has plans here. The story in Genesis 24 is Abraham sends his servant across the desert back to the old country to go find a wife for Isaac. Now, I think I can quote the King James. I got it written down differently. But I being in the way the Lord led me. I being in the way God wants us to go. The servant says, the Lord led me. And he finds Rebekah, and Rebekah goes back and marries Isaac, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And I actually think God does have a plan for that also. Many commands for all of us, but some one way, some the other way. Spiritual gifts are that way. I think being single or being married is that way. God, who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, as God has called, verse 17. I'm going to look a little bit ahead. Coming is verse 26, about the present distress. I looked at verse 26 last time. Paul's opinion is going to be that Corinth was dangerous. And if there's a danger, you should not start a family right now because it's dangerous. So that'll kind of fit verses 18 and following. Always talking about rituals to start with. Let's look at verse 18. Was any man called when he was already circumcised? He has not become uncircumcised. That can't happen. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to become circumcised. Don't do dangerous rituals in a dangerous place. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. If you were called while a slave, do not worry about it. Don't start a slave rebellion. If God wants you free, you'll be free. But don't kill your masters. This would have fit America in before 1865. Don't kill. Freedom is good. They want God to give freedom. Don't kill other people. Verse 22, for he was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he was called while free as the Lord's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, each one of us is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. Now, he's talking about a ritual, but his main point is don't make big and quick decisions in a time of danger. And in a time of danger, the actual topic is don't run away from your master, but in a time of danger, don't make big decisions. And overall, he's telling them in a time of danger, you might delay having a family. Verses 25 through 27, continue with that. Now concerning virgins, unmarried people, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as to one, by the mercy of the Lord, is trustworthy. I think that it is good, in view of the present distress, it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. God has called some people to be married, some people to be single. He's talking here about the actual time and place. It was dangerous. It was dangerous in Corinth. So his personal opinion is you should delay marriage until it is safer. I actually think the United States is safe. You might think it's getting worse, but I think it's safe. Safe to be married. And so this situation is not quite the same, although Afghanistan might fit. Should you start a family in Afghanistan? I think, wait. Start a family in Ukraine? Might wait. This is what Paul's opinion is being. It is dangerous in Corinth, so you might wait. Yet, if they did not wait, he's saying that is not a sin. Go on right ahead. Now we get to where the idea that life is short, and Ken mentioned that, you mentioned that, life is short. That's coming in the next verse, verses 28 and following, which Allison said. But if you marry, even though it's a little bit dangerous, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I'm trying to spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened so that from now on those who have wives should be as those who had not, and those who have wept as those who did not weep, and those who rejoice as those who did not rejoice, and those who buy as those who did not possess. Now we're getting the world passing away, verse 31. And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of this world is passing away. Time is short. Corinth was dangerous. In his opinion, shouldn't get married yet. Maybe in a safer place, in a safer time, which he also says in 1 Timothy 5, to Timothy, I will that younger people get married. Must not have been as dangerous there. But in a time of danger, in a place of danger, might delay. Now, in my opinion, maybe for traveling missionaries, there are places of danger. And a person might delay not starting a family when they're going to a dangerous place to do ministry work. On the other hand, I do not feel that the United States is dangerous. So it's basically God's will for one or then the other. You're supposed to be single. You're supposed to be married. I don't think it's that dangerous. In verses 32 through 35, there are times where it's have to give more attention if you're married to something. But I would say both things as far as travel is concerned. Paul had to walk. At best, he'd use a horse, but there aren't pretty many stories in the book of Acts of a horse. So Paul is walking all over the place. So in his thinking here, it's the days of very slow travel. For a long time. Being gone for a long time to get to a place. Well, I've done it. You get on an airplane, you fly to London, you go to Africa. You get on an airplane, you go to Russia. So the travel time in 1 Corinthians time is not quite the same as it is now. By this I mean I can go off on a ministry trip, and anybody here can go off on a ministry trip, go do a short-term missionary trip and come right back, and you haven't been that long away from wife and kids. I think that is a different factor than that. Danger, someplace, it is. Afghanistan and Ukraine, so danger. Danger might delay getting married. But in terms of travel, which he's talking about here, taking them on long trips, Marin could actually fly with me. She often doesn't want to. But you want to go such? Travel is not the same as in the days of the Corinthians. Not quite the same. Also, I'll talk a little bit about how in verses 32 through 35, he's saying that unmarried people can get more done. Well, yeah, but we live in modern times also. So, when I was single, I would work every day till 11. When I got married, I worked every day till 5:30 or 6 and went home. It was a philosophy change. So, that is true. On the other hand, I have just counseled a person in Washington, D.C., that was single and is working until he will collapse. He keeps doing all this stuff. So my advice from him was, you shouldn't work this long and this late and this many days. You're going to collapse. So travel is safer now. Families can come along in most places. It's not as dangerous. In terms of getting a lot done, yeah, I think maybe a single person can get more done than a married person, but I've always felt like I'll get enough done. It'll be what it's going to be. And travel is not the same, and I actually think people can get a lot done. The next section, we're going to read the final verse. The next section, verse 36 and following, if a man acts unbecomingly towards his virgin, probably daughter, this is about the day when fathers were the ones who organized weddings. That's cultural, and I think it may have been better. That doesn't happen as much anymore. When people come to get married, one of the questions I have, do mom and dad agree with this? If not, let's try to work on that so that everybody agrees with it. But it's not quite these days. A little bit more, when I was a kid, in the church, the fathers and mothers announced a wedding. They announced an engagement. It's kind of like the couple would talk with each other first and then go to the fathers and mothers. It's not quite the same thing as controlling everything, but it's kind of a step in there. And in those days, the fathers just controlled it. And the point being here, Paul's to them, if you want to go ahead and start a wedding for your daughter, go ahead. Just remember, it's a dangerous time. We will look at verses 39 and 40. Verse 39. A wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Now, verse 40 gives his opinion then. Time of danger. But in my opinion, she is happier if she remains as she is, and I think also I have the Spirit of God. Marriage is until death us do part. That's the English Book of Prayer. It's not really a Bible verse, but it is permanent. It's taught here as long as they both live. It's more like wedding phraseology, but as long as they both live, and marriage lasts a lifetime. And then if one dies, there is freedom to get married, but he restricts it. Only in the Lord. Now, that says a believer has to marry another believer. That's the way it should be. If they marry it, if they disobey and marry an unbeliever, it's still a binding marriage. But here, what God wants is one Christian to marry another Christian and kind of restricts that. Very often, a Bible verse is applied this way. Do not be unequally yoked together. Well, that's ox or horse yokes. And we know what that is. Probably city people are losing the idea of what a horse yoke is. But do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. And that actual verse is talking more than marriage. It's saying don't go to the pagan temple for a worship service. Well, but it applies. If you don't go to the pagan temple for a worship service, you don't go to the pagan temple for your own wedding. So it's applied correctly to don't marry an unbeliever. Do not be unequally yoked. Here we have only in the Lord coming. It's on the same page in my Bible. 1 Corinthians 9:5, where Paul says he could have been like Peter and the other apostles, and he could have married a believing wife. He could have married a sister. So it's limited. You should only marry other Christians. If not, though, it's still limited. Hey, we got through it. It was a long part. God's grace to you. Will the musicians please come?